At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Let's talk about the offensive line. All right, fourth-year offensive line coach Donovan Raiola, the most tenured coach in that entire building, head or assistant coach or otherwise, going into his fourth year. This is a Nebraska offensive line that a couple of years ago ran block really, really well. We struggled to throw the ball in general. Protecting the quarterback was a bit of a struggle. Last year, we improved in pass protection. I wouldn't call it elite, but it was improved. But the run blocking was not the same effectiveness level. Now, it was kind of put out there a couple of times, hey, maybe the running backs aren't hitting the holes, okay? You go into this season, games are won and lost. Like, offense puts butts in the seats, defense wins games, but football games are won and lost in the trenches. Like, offense puts butts in the seats, defense wins games, the trenches wins championships, especially in the Big Frickin' 10. If you're going to win games in the Big 10, especially above any other conference in America, a lot of it has to do with cold weather, how Big 10 football is played, you got to be able to win at the line of scrimmage way more often than not. All right, so just a couple of stats here, then we'll kind of dive into the personnel and what we think, what we can expect, and what's realistic. When it comes to sacks in 2022, despite the fact that we were number 2 in the Big Ten in rushing, this is 2022. They allowed 33 sacks. That was Donovan's first year. 2023, that was the year we were number 2 in the Big Ten in rushing, gave up 30 sacks. So 33 to 30 sacks the following season, 2022 to 2023, and 2024 last year, a drop to 28 sacks, even though we threw the ball more often in 2024 than we did in 2023. So again, you saw that progression of improvement of protecting the quarterback, but we got to be more physical up front, more consistently able to knock people off the ball. You look at the Wisconsin game, we dominated the line of scrimmage. Was there another game that you looked at, Jake, and you're like, we dominated the line of scrimmage besides Wisconsin?
No, hard to think.
Not even Northern Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Because we had a hard time, honestly, stopping the run that game more so than we thought we would. Defensively, we had a hard time running the ball. I remember, was UTEP the first game last year?
Yeah.
I remember we ran the ball okay, but it still wasn't like we're clearly more physical than them in the trenches. I didn't see that. Okay. With Colorado, the first half obviously was 28 to nothing at halftime. The second half, we got outscored 10 to 0, 128 to 10. With the offensive line this year, I think it is fair to expect improvements, upgrades, and at least more consistency. I do get very excited about the interior of that O-line. Justin Evans is a guy that the coaches obviously think very, very highly of. They've talked about him winning all these awards and things of that nature. Again, I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about the improvement, the strides, the effort, what is different, what looks different. I don't want to hear the end. I want to hear about the journey, and then the end will be whatever it is, whether there's more wins, whether there's awards, whether there's whatever there is. I'm not a particular fan of coaches talking about the end. Hey, we're going to win X amount of games, or this guy's going to win this many trophies or whatever. I'm curious to hear about the journey. How are we going to get there? What are we doing? What is different? Why should we believe this? And then I want to see it on the field. But that being said, I think it's fair to say that Justin Evans is expected to be one of the better centers in the Big Ten. And I think that's his floor, by the way. I think that's a fair way to put that. You look at, and again, we're projecting starters here. These spots still have to be solidified in my mind, 100% earned. You can't just show up day one of camp, not look great, and just think you're automatically going to coast and earn it. It's still got to be earned day in and day out. You look at the guard spots, projected starters, Rocco Spindler, Henry Litovsky is going to be back in the fall. These are two big physical dudes. Like, Henry Litovsky is one of the strongest guys on the team in that weight room, if not the strongest guy. Rocco Spindler came from Notre Dame, which is built at the line of scrimmage. Their running back last year was the number one graded running back by Pro Football Focus in all of college football. Part of that's him. Part of that's the offensive line. And then I do feel like we've got some depth on the interior as well. All right. You look at, And I'm curious to see what happens when Teddy Prochazka comes back, Turner Corcoran comes back. How do they factor into this? Are they factored in as tackles? Are they factored in as guards? How much competition can they present as far as potentially starting or at least adding depth, if nothing else? The worst case scenario, Preston Tamura is another guy who, you know, can play on that interior as well. Again, a talented redshirt freshman from Hawaii, a four-star highly recruited kid, much like Grant Bricks. Now, Bricks played a lot of tackle in the spring. I'm curious to see with some of these guys coming back in fall camp along the offensive line, will he stay at tackle? Will he go back to guard? Do they feel pretty good about the interior? Maybe they keep him out of tackle if we need some more depth or more competition. Or, I mean, he's just a big athletic kid. Maybe he should be a tackle. Who knows? I'm curious to see what they do with him. But again, I've said this before. I feel pretty decent about the interior offensive line. I feel pretty decent about the competition, the depth, the starters. Where do they put Teddy Prochazka? Where do they put Turner Corcoran when they come back? How do the coaches see them? How do they view them? Right, guys who've been tackles, do they stay at tackle? Do they go to guard and have to, and play in less space? It's more of a phone booth. Those are large human beings, those two guys. You put them at guard, the only drawback I see, I mean, Dylan's not a short guy, but you put him at guard, you know, even as tall as Dylan is, he may have a hard time seeing over them. I don't know how much of a factor that plays. But you give them less area they have and space they have to work within, give them more of a phone booth, especially with some of the injuries they've had, just trying to help them out. Maybe they're better players as a result of it. There's a reason some guys are better guards, some guys are better tackles, etc. Your center is usually a little bit of a smaller guy, not always. Andre Giroud at Dallas, when him and Leonard Davis, I mean, my gosh, Giroud was like 330. Leonard Davis was listed at 360. Lies, more like 390. That was a double team for the ages when I was at nose guard with the Rams. That was like getting hit by two walls at the same time. Two brick walls anytime they double team me. But typically your center's a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker, and one of your smarter guys on the offensive line because he's got to make a lot of the adjustments and the calls and whatnot. What are your thoughts on anything I've said so far with the interior of the offensive line there, Jake?
Yeah, I like what they've kind of got set up there. Obviously, did, you know, went out and spent some money, likely, all right, in order to make this happen. But you feel pretty good, obviously, with Rocco Spindler in there. From everything I've heard, has fit in really well with Nebraska. Like you said, the praise with Evans. And then Litovsky, I feel like he's the one that maybe is a little bit overlooked at this point. We'll see. I mean, he started on and off each of the last couple of years, but you feel like he's got enough experience that they don't, again, you know, it's maybe still far from the pipeline days, but the you feel pretty good, especially about the interior of what we've got. And then, of course, I know you get to the tackles, but a high-end tackle there at the end as well. So, I mean, this offensive line looks like it can be the part, but I think through the last 31 games, and keep me, I'm, you know, kind of doing this on the fly here with this math, but between the 2.5 seasons, I think they've had three games of 100-yard rusher from the running back position. So, you know, as much as the offensive line's got better, and you can kind of point to this and that, and they did have split running backs for a majority of the season last year, that's not an especially a great accomplishment to get 100 yards. A lot of running backs do that, try to get that, you know, three, four, five times a season. And Nebraska's had three in the last 2.5 seasons.
No, it's a fair point. To be clear, I have to see it. I don't know how else to put it. I have to see it. For the 11 years that there were divisions, at least the Big Ten West.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
9 of those 11 years, we had the highest recruiting class of any team in the Big Ten West coming out of high school. The other 2 years, Wisconsin. Just barely edged us out. Like, year after year, I would hear some folks talk about, oh, the talent just isn't there. The cupboard is bare. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not comparing us to Georgia and Alabama right now. I'm comparing us to everybody else in the Big Ten West. We are absolutely as talented, and let's be real, more talented than everybody in the Big Ten West. But we only played in one Big Ten championship game during that whole entire time, unfortunately. So my point is, I can talk about the positives and I can talk about what I like. We got to see it at the end of the day. Again, it's why I don't like hearing about the end. I want to hear about the journey. I want to hear about the journey, and then you can show me the end on the football field. That's how I view things. Right now, I can't see anything on the football field. So all we can talk about is the journey. And hopefully what we see on the football field matches what we perceive in the journey. And a lot of that comes down to coaching and development and things of that nature. It's funny because Matt Rhule did say, man, the better players I have, the better coach I am. A lot of truth to that to be said, though. All right. And we'll see what happens on that interior spot, on those interior spots. But you got to feel decent about that. When it comes to the offensive tackle spot, man, Elijah Pritchett, projected to be the number 21 overall pick in the NFL draft next year, according to some way too early mock drafts. Like, the talent is there. Nobody's ever doubted the talent. According to 247 Sports, he was the number one offensive tackle in the entire country coming out of high school. You look at his stats last year, statistically, he was the least effective offensive lineman that Alabama had. Now, he's had an entire offseason to grow, develop, and prove. Sometimes, the grass isn't always greener, but sometimes, when you get around different people and some different surroundings, sometimes all you need is kind of a little bit of a fresh start, too. So we'll see what happens. I've never questioned the talent. What we need to see is consistency. How consistent can he be? It's kind of like when Joey Harrington talked about Dylan Raiola. What's the biggest thing he needs to do in order to take the next step as a quarterback? Joey didn't talk about he needs to throw for X amount of touchdowns or completion percentage. He said lower the floor. Make it so the floor isn't very low. Take care of the ball. Move the chains. Throw it away when necessary. Make the right decisions. I would say the same thing with Elijah Pritchett. Lower the floor. The ceiling is going to be high. We know that. Lower the floor. In other words, find more consistency. Do the little things better. Which, you know, as a younger player, that's something you need to learn. He's had an entire offseason with which to grow, learn, and develop. I mean, the size is there. The athleticism is there. Can he just find that consistency and lower the floor? And then we can see how high the ceiling is potentially. The other thing that's interesting, again, you got three guys that were out this spring as far as the projected right offensive tackle. Is it Turner Corcoran? Is it Teddy Prochazka? Is it Gunnar Gutula, who stepped in as a freshman last year and I thought played very admirably? He was out this spring with an injury. All three of those guys were. How consistent can our left tackle be, Elijah Pritchett? Who's going to step up at right tackle? Maybe Grant Bricks, who was getting reps at right tackle. Tyler Canock was talked about by Matt Rhule, and he's not a small dude, I might add. None of these guys are, obviously, but who's going to step up at that right tackle spot and be the starting right tackle? Also, when guys get banged up, who can be there for depth? It's one of the things I kind of feel halfway decent about with our interior lines. If guys get banged up, I feel like we've got some decent depth in there where you couldn't have always said that before. The right tackle spot, the left tackle spot, who's going to supply competition as far as being the starters, and then who's going to supply the depth when guys get banged up? I project Gunnar Gutula to start at right tackle. I project Elijah Pritchett and Gunnar Gutula to both be players and guys that are playing on Sunday. But right now, while they're playing on Saturdays, what do you think we can realistically expect for them on Saturdays and a Thursday and a Friday this fall, Jake?
Obviously, again, a lot of it's just kind of what is Pritchett going to be, right? Like, if he's a first-round talent, is he playing up to the first-round talent? Is he going to be a guy that is still a high pick with a lot of upside? Or is he going to, like, play like that dominating player that is within him potentially? And then, like you said, that other side of the line is just kind of interesting. I thought Gutula played really well for a redshirt freshman, and so I'm excited about his future. Like you said, Corcoran and Prochazka injuries, but at least there's experience there. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting and just all across the line last season, the final game, the bowl game, of course, injuries playing into this a little bit, but all five backups were either freshmen or redshirt freshmen, and you've kept all of those guys except for Grant Seagren, who went off to Oklahoma State. So that could have been a guy that maybe would make you feel a little bit better about their tackle depth here. Obviously, he didn't feel like he was probably in line to start or be in that competition. So he, you know, found a different spot, or maybe it was NIL related. I'm not really sure why Grant Seagren decided to leave. But you know, there's kind of a youth movement behind these starters too, which is why you do get excited for the depth.
It's interesting because normally in year three of a Matt Rhule type squad, there's usually a lot of juniors, seniors, upperclassmen. And there's some positions that have that on this team. But when you look at linebacker, you look at D-line, you look at especially some of the guys up and coming on the O-line, like it's a lot of younger guys. And I think that's part of the residual effect of a new era of college football. I think it's part of the residual effect of Matt Rhule kind of saying, hey, I got to do things a little bit differently now because college football is so freaking different. But yeah, there's a lot of young and up and coming talent on both sides of the ball. But again, this Saturday or this fall on Saturdays, a Thursday and a Friday, what do we think we're going to see? I think we will see an improved offensive line. We need to see a consistent and physical offensive line day in and day out, game in and game out. And when it's fourth and one, can we hand the ball off and be confident we're going to get the first down? If it's fourth and goal from the half-yard line, hey, go grab a D lineman like you did with Ty last year. I love that monster formation. I don't know if you want to walk up to the line and say, hey, we're going to run the ball right here, try and stop us like Zach Wigger did back in the day against Iowa State. But you want to have that confidence that, hey, we're really, really good at this. It's going to be really hard to stop us. We don't even care if you know. And then all of a sudden you throw in a play action pass and now you got defenses on their heels as well. But that's kind of what I'm looking for out of our offensive line this fall. All right, ladies and gentlemen, kind of a whole hoopla of Husker sports roundups when we come back. There's a Notre Dame player who could play in his third national title game in less than a calendar year. That means he's playing different sports. There's an NFL quarterback that was just drafted who got a 100 on their SPS score. I'll tell you what that means when we come back. Nash Hutmaker appears to have a new potential team. Shedeur Sanders seems to be looking pretty good at the Browns camp so far. And a former baseball team here at Nebraska was honored as well. Don't go anywhere.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.